Upon this study, let's go to bended knee if we can. Precious Father, Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful Sabbath day that you have given us. And we pray, Father, as you have given us this hour where we can come together and learn of you, we pray, Lord, that you may send by Holy Spirit to guide us. Guide us into all truths. And we pray, Lord, that as we take part in this topic and this study of the promise and the promises, we pray, Lord, that we may have that foresight and have an understanding of where we are to be in our life today and going forward, that we may have that opportunity to eat from the tree of life and be with you in all eternity. So bless us now, Father, and we ask for the blessings through Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen. Okay, amen, amen. I pray that you can hear me okay. And as you see in the title, it says The Promise. Okay. And thanks, Brother Scott, for the link. All right, the subject I want to share with you this Sabbath is about the promise. And this promise that we've always heard about in Scripture concerning the promise made to Abraham, and how we are to be beneficiaries and recipients of this promise. So as always, the best way I know how to do this and to investigate this subject is to go to the very Word of God. So, let us begin. I want to start here with number one in the room, at Genesis chapter 22, and it's at verse 17 and 18. But probably before going to this verse, I'm going to set this up a little bit. This is that area of Scripture where Abraham takes his son up that Mount Moriah to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering. As we know, that's for sin. So at this point, the angel of the Lord calls out of him from heaven. So he calls out of heaven from him the second time here, and he says, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. So, because of this is where the blessing comes from. So, at 22 in Genesis, verse 17 and 18, it says this, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. I want us to take note of that area of Scripture, possess the gate of the enemies, but we're going to get back to this. And it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. All right? Something else I want us to note, because he obeyed his voice. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth, okay? Not just the Jews, notice that, but the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham was promised that through his seed the earth would be blessed, and that there would be one that would come and grant us a blessing. Abraham was not the one that would bless us, but it would be through his seed, and that eventually that Christ would come, the Messiah, or they would call him the Mashiach in Hebrew. So just as Mary was a chosen vessel, so is Abraham a chosen vessel as well to announce these promises. What we get when we read these couple verses here is the earth would be his inheritance. We also see that an innumerable multitude of seeds of a righteous people would reap these promises. We also see that dominion over the enemies is also a promise here. And that's key, because it's a good base of what this topic and this subject is going to be on. Now, let's back up some of these statements found here in Genesis 22, 17 and 18. Let's back it up a little bit. So, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, and from 71 to 75. Okay? So, looking here at the Gospel of Luke, we'll see it recorded how John the Baptist's father, okay, his name was Zacharias. Zacharias prophesied about this event of being delivered from the enemies. Here again, I'm taking this from Genesis 22:17, and here's what he says: that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. So we see it backed up in Scripture. So yes, we're to look forward to a day when we are to be delivered from all that come against us, because we will possess the gates of our enemies forever. This eventually will take place when we serve God and we have reverence towards him. Okay? Now, what does it mean to possess the gate of our enemies? Now, let's look into this. In ancient times, cities were surrounded by walls, okay? Such as Megiddo, Babylon, Jericho, even Jerusalem, and so on, you know? And the only way to go in and out was through the gates, which you can imagine were heavily guarded. So what happens if an enemy gains control of the gates? The enemy would then control the city. And if you control the city, then you control the inhabitants along with the city. So they're like almost now in charge, so to speak, you know? They, the enemy, possesses the keys to the gates. Satan came to this earth and took over the dominion that was given to the representative of this earth, Adam. Satan claims this earth as his through rebellion and through transgression of God's holy law. As you already know, Satan is the enemy here. The land Satan claims is the grave, and death is the gate to enter this land. Because, we're told, the wages of sin is death. But we have good news. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And we take that from 1 Corinthians 15:26. So we will soon, this is the promise now, we will soon possess the gates of our enemies because of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the promised seed. You see, Jesus passed through the gate of death so that we may enter through the enemy's land that was taken from us, a land of eternal bliss. went obedience and righteousness. Who else? And that's what we are to look forward to. It was Christ Jesus that spoiled the principalities and powers of our enemies. And that's written in the Word of God. In Hebrews 2:14, right number 4 in the room, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he hears Christ, he also himself likewise took part of the what? Of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath power of death, that is, the devil." Okay? We're getting the picture here? Jesus. It is Jesus that will bring all the righteous back into this gate. Satan once had dominion over us because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus declares to all of us and to all his people, Jesus says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Brothers and sisters, we are to be glad that it's Christ. It is he that holds the keys to the gate. So now we can understand a little bit more those words of a Savior and a Redeemer. Jesus saved us from death, which the enemy, who is Satan, once held a position at the gate. Jesus holds the keys to the gate now. Jesus, our Lord, stands at the gate in our behalf. He has the keys. When Satan came to this earth, when he was cast out of heaven, and because of the transgression that took place on this earth, Satan claimed it. He claimed it because of sin, and the wages of sin is death. We needed a Redeemer. We needed a Savior. Psalms 118:20 says this, "The gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter." This is the gate of the Lord. When many awake from the dust of the earth to everlasting life, they're going to comprehend that promise. You know, we should start comprehending that promise today. And they're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed. Because we're told, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's Matthew 5:5. What type of earth are we going to inherit? What type of earth is the meek going to inherit? And part of this promise, brothers and sisters, is a restored earth. And we are all living in some sort of trial. All of us. You know, I'm sure Pastor Ness can tell you. The phone calls he gets, the emails he gets. So Pastor Greg can tell you how tough it is getting up and going out there. But we do this for the Lord. They do it for the Lord. But we're to look forward to a restored earth free from sin, free from all these trials and tribulations. And guess who wants us there? Our Lord. He created us. He wants us there. And he, Jesus, he's delivered us from the hand of our enemies. This is what we are to focus on and look forward to. That's that heavenly hope. There's always a but, right? There's always a but for the whole thing. There's always an if for the whole thing. We just need to meet the conditions. Gotta meet those conditions. And number 8, it says Romans 11:26. Okay, look what it says. It says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." You can bet our Lord keeps his promises. I'm sure we all agree with that in this room. Every last one of us. All promises are conditional. And they've always been conditional and have been based on what? Obedience. Never changed. Never will change. Why did God give Abraham that promise in Genesis 22:18? What did we read there? We read, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We already know the scripture says God is not a respecter of persons. It wasn't because it was Abraham. You know, Abraham's the father. No. It was because he obeyed his voice. And many are called. Few are chosen. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's interesting. Notice it says seed. It is singular. It's not plural. It's singular. So it was through Christ Jesus that the promises are going to be fulfilled. Okay? It's being fulfilled in Him. Because it says, and to thy seed, who's the seed? Galatians tells us, which is Christ. It is Christ. What was Abraham and his seed going to inherit? Romans 4:13. What it says. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So my question is, did Abraham receive the world? And was he an heir to it? He did not receive the world when he died. But he died in faith. It says, Scripture tells us that he was a sojourner in the lands, and he dwelled in tabernacles. Okay? Tabernacles are tents. He dwelled with Isaac and Jacob, who was also the heir, with him as well. You know, remember the promises were given. Let's back this up. At number 11, it says, we're at Hebrews 11:8. We're going to read it down to 13. And I just chose these verses. I don't want to read the whole thing out just for the length of the service here. But starting at verse 8, it says, by faith, okay, first of all, something places precedence here. It says, by faith, okay? So by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the very same promise. What verse 10 says? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judgeth him faithful who had promised. God keeps his promises. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, so innumerable. Look what it says here. This is key. These all died in faith. They died in what? Faith. But what did they get? Not having received the promises. But look how they died in faith. But having seen them afar off. You guys catch that? But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this very earth that you and I live in. But they embraced it, and they're persuaded of it. Now, we have to see
the very same thing. We have to have the foresight that they did. But it all started off with faith. That's why we're not to worry about these trials and tribulations that are coming upon us now, today, here. We're all having them. Every last one of us are having them. They're in our families. At work. With our neighbors, maybe. We're all having them. But where's our focus? They embraced it, but having seen it afar off, and they were persuaded of them. Now notice in the context of the passage, okay, in Hebrews 11, and I only started at that verse, but when we look at the verse, and he started at verse 4, it speaks of Abel, it speaks of Enoch, it speaks of Noah as well, who did not receive the promise as well. Maybe you're saying, and I remember saying myself too, wait a minute, but Enoch's in heaven, how's that? We're going to see a little bit later, we'll see what I'm referring to here, because Enoch's there. But yet the Bible says that they all did not receive the promise as well. It says they all died in faith and did not receive the promise. Yet they saw the hope and the glory far off. Also note in the above passage that Abraham looked for this glorious city which had foundations, and who this builder and maker of it is God. And of course the city here is referring to the new city, New Jerusalem. Right? Who's the builder? Famous verse, John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Right, number 12. Okay, for those of you that are following in the room. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me." This is Jesus speaking now in this passage. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." There's our master carpenter right there. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Who's the builder? It's Christ. Who created all things? Christ. The Bible says God created all things through Jesus Christ. Remember what John wrote in the Island of Patmos, Revelation 21:2. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So brethren, or church, my friends, what's going to qualify us to be part of and the receiver of those promises? You already read it up there. It was obedience. Remember, conditions. The if. Or, you know, the if factor we always see in Scripture. It's obedience. Remember, we first stated that all the promises were based on conditions. It has been noted that through Scripture that the failure of the promises being fulfilled has always been to the lack of obedience in the people of God. I know we all agree, I know we all understand this, but do we truly understand it? You know what I mean? We got to make note of this in our life. We have to look in that mirror every day. Why? Because this is going to be the failure of the so-called people of God in our time. Lack of obedience. You see, we can't be Israel, which is of the flesh, but we have to be Israel, which is of the Spirit. I don't do these things because if I want to stop doing this or doing that, whether it's drinking or smoking, whatever it is, if I try to do it on my own accord, my own flesh, I'm going to stop because look, the Word of God says it. I'm going to fail. Must do it through the Spirit of God. We must rely wholly upon Christ. Has to be the Israel, which is of the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit, we can please God, brothers and sisters. We can. It's not my righteousness. It's not our righteousness. But it's Christ, my righteousness. It is the Spirit of God working in me, Christ, my righteousness. It's the Spirit of God that is in you, Christ, your righteousness. Remember, God keeps His promises. And all those that walk in the Spirit and put on Christ will be given the promise. But, here we go again, but we have to be Christ. That's the difference. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29, it reads, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Can't be any clearer than that. We don't have to be of the Jewish religion. We don't have to be a Jew. We don't have to be Jehovah's Witness. We don't have to be Baptists. We don't have to be Mormons or SDA or the Messianic Jews, everybody thinks these days all of a sudden. We don't. We are to be Christ, as it is plainly written in Galatians 3:29. It can't be any plainer than that. That's who we boast. We boast Christ our righteousness. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation," how many nations? "Every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Accepted with him. Those that work righteousness and feareth him. Feareth him is what? To reverence God. Show devotion. Be a doer. Doer of what? Of his commandments. You want to fear God? You want wisdom given to you? Give him reverence. That's what we're all collected here in this room today. Keeping the Sabbath holy. We're showing reverence. We're showing our devotion. That is why we go out. We work 6 days. Because the commandment says so. Obedience. Again, not through our righteousness, because we have help. We're not doing any of this by ourselves, any of us. But there must be that grand change in us. Self must be put aside, brothers and sisters. Has to. The thoughts, the evil thoughts we have for others, got to be put aside. Problems within the homes, got to be put aside. Be more like Christ. Be more like Christ. Be forgiving. Understand the promise. Because then you'll have that foresight. We need to become part of that spiritual family of Christ in walking in the Spirit and being baptized in Christ Jesus. In so doing, we are also receivers of that promise made to Abraham and his descendants. Through what? Through faith. And faith in whom? In Christ Jesus. And our Savior. We shall be heirs to that promise. The promises are fulfilled in Jesus. It's not by lineage. We boast Christ our righteousness. It is Jesus. He illuminates our paths. every day, brothers and sisters, when we be Christ. That spiritual world we gain is when we walk in His light. For He is the Son of Righteousness. When I say Son, I'm referring to S-U-N here. Son of Righteousness. He lights up our spiritual world for us. He makes our path straight. The darkness we once had and how we view things and the blindness we once had, it's illuminated by Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. What we get from Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear, reverence. Okay? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Who's going to bring light to this dark world? The Son of Righteousness. So as Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and all the other patriarchs that all died in faith, we too are to have that kind of faith too. We're praying to stand. We're praying to be that bride. You know, we're going to strive to be part of that number. Brothers and sisters, we are to believe in His Word. That's our safeguard. And we're to exercise our faith in Christ Jesus so we can look and live and be heirs of that promise as well. It's given to us too. Look at this prophecy at number 16 in the room. Okay, it's taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 through 14. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of the graves, and shall put my spirit in you. And ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I am the Lord have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I mean, from all generations, the promise is being repeated. Not just through Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. You know? We've read it in here, Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, telling us we're going to be delivered from the hand of our enemies. The Lord has spoken this. The prophecy is continuing. And it continues with us, brothers and sisters. We have the opportunity today to be the light of men. If we're boasting Christ our righteousness, it must be shown within our characters and how we treat others, even treat others that we may think comes against us. Hearts can be cut by the Word of God. Friends, our Lord has promised us a blessing. A blessing of a restored earth. Enoch went to heaven. Remember in Hebrews 11, I said we'd get back to that? But the earth is not restored. So he died in faith, and he too did not receive that promise. A better country, so to speak, you know? That's how we're... He'll place us on our own land. Jesus holds the keys. He holds the keys. Place, brothers and sisters, that will not have corruption. No more sorrows, no more tears, no more suffering. How does that sound? Where we will see our once loved ones as well, because why are we going to see them? Because He's merciful and just. God will judge. and we will know that He's just. A place where we can plant and another won't take. A place where we can build and another won't inhabit. Because Genesis 22:17 says, we will possess the gates. Christ holds the key. The enemy that took it, who had the power of death, eventually he'll be destroyed. We are building our heavenly estate now here, where we are today in everything that we do, when we live a life through obedience, so that we can be heirs to everlasting life there with our Savior. Proverbs 10:30, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Proverbs 10:30, brothers, have foresight. Look at what's before you. Look what's ahead. Don't look back. Don't even look where you're at right now. Look before you. Cross. Look at the promise. It's not where you're at. It's where you're going. The righteous, God's people, will never have their faith removed. Get in harmony with the Scriptures. Be held accountable for what you believe in. Their faith will never be removed. Their faith is like of Abraham. And like Galatians 3:26 declares, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Neither will they ever be removed from New Jerusalem. Never. It's a promise from God. The wicked will never inhabit the earth as it's written in Isaiah 65:22. They shall not build and another inhabit it. Doesn't happen there. Affliction doesn't arise a second time. I think it's Psalm 119. Move to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. 6 through 9. We're at number 18. Even as Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it says, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It's the Jews. But they which be of faith. Exercise your faith in Christ daily. It should be shown. It should be seen. Your husband should see it. Your wife should see it. Your children should see it. Your neighbor at work should see it. Your physical neighbor should see it. Let me ask you this. Does your enemy see it? Or your so-called enemies, do they see it? Where's your faith? We have an elder brother in Christ who has gone and prepared a place for us. May we not forfeit our inheritance for a small space and time which is like a vapor, glorying in selfish deeds or sayings or vices. May we not choose that cup of lentils for such a short gratification and lose out in our promise of eternal heavenly inheritance with our Creator. The problem sometimes we all have is because we try to do it on the flesh. Call upon God. Call upon your Savior, brothers and sisters. Remember, our Lord is not slack concerning His promise. 2 Peter 3:9. As some men count slackness, what is He? He is long-suffering to usward. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that should come to repentance. See? Conditional. There's always something there, right? You know, before I close here, always a reminder. It's always a reminder that we have to pick up our cross. We have to follow Him. Yeah, if we want to walk in the footsteps of Christ, who's willing to pick up their cross? We have to repent. We have to confess our sins. We have to remember what our Savior did for us in giving His life upon the cross. The cross is the power of God, brothers and sisters. It is the power. Now, what are we going to go do? What are we going to do in showing our gratitude toward what He did? Look what He did. Remember, obedience is the fruit of faith. It's the fruit of it. So I repeat these words. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Brothers and sisters, please, you know, as Robert put in the room, deny yourselves. Deny yourselves. Put it aside. Die daily, as Paul said. God bless you all. Keep the love of Christ in you in every single thing that you do. Except Christ. It's your righteousness. That makes you the apple of His eye. God bless. I pray you all have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your Sabbath, and the blessings continue. God bless.
Let your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Let your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Let your heart be troubled, believe also in me. Let your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Let your heart be troubled, believe also in me. Let your heart be troubled, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God.
Amen and amen. If you can please kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the changing in the showbread once again on Sabbath day. Thank You for blessing us with an understanding of the truth. And thank You for all these promises that You have granted us. Please bless us with the strength of faith, the courage within, the desire in our hearts to accept the promises. so that we can go forth and glorify you, and then be home for all eternity. And then even there, continue to glorify you. And Father, we uplift all those on our prayer list too, especially those that are lost. We do this in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.